Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 2. And they seem not to break, though once they are bowed so low for long, they never right themselves. Robert Frost. Layla climbed high into the oak, scaling its limbs until they stretched into the violet haze. She had the village spread out beneath her. The only rivals to her freedom of the sky were the trees and, in the near distance, the pointed spear of the church spire. Beyond it loomed the crooked remnants of the old bell tower. She had all but dismissed what had happened with her mother, almost convincing herself that it had somehow been part of the madness of the carnival, of her birthday. Perhaps, she thought, it was something she had created as a defence to block the uncomfortable truth. A protection. She'd read about that. She eyed the bell tower suspiciously, but no bells rang out and no living shadow slipped into view, so she shouldered the confusion aside and rolled another cigarette. She flicked the lighter, watching the smoke curl from her lips to the leaves above. Besides, she thought, when hadn't things been confusing? She hummed with the wind and closed her eyes. Around her, the space filled rich with birdsong and the scuttling of small mammals. She tried to forget. Out to the east, the village was murmuring its weekday song, ready for the final cadence before the evening. She studied the view, trying to ascertain if death had brought any change to the village, but it strode steadily on, any difference hidden among the necessary beat of the everyday. She thought of Laura and the way her lips pressed against each other when she was trying to figure something out. She pictured how her long hair slipped around the curve of her neck as she studied whatever textbook page was open in front of her, falling from the clasp and releasing the scent of her. And she'll never be interested in a motherless headcase like me, Layla thought. Layla saw the stranger long before her father did. She shifted from her perch, edging out along the boughs to escape their density. Her curiosity trumped sense and her foot snapped the hollow of dead wood. With a sickening lurch, she swung from the branch, one hooked leg keeping her from falling. The cigarette fell from her lips, hitting the ground in an eruption of embers and ash. Her stomach filled with a flurry of butterflies, but underneath the fear, she savoured the rush, the joy of close-up danger. She hooked a second heel onto the branch and hauled herself up, laying her belly flat to the tree's wide stable limb and peered across Jacob's roof to the village street beyond. It made her think of all the times she's sat up here with Jacob by her side. She loved him. Not like that. Even if he wasn't gay, she didn't see him that way. His gruffness, his brutal honesty was such a rarity in the village where people tended to sigh and cock their heads or turn from her in pity. Poor motherless mongrel, she heard them think. But she and Jacob shared everything. Cigarettes, grief, secrets, fights, laughter, danger. Nothing was off limits. They often sat side by side in one of their hideaways, smoking and battering around edges of their hurts. She remembered how she'd leant over the same branch years ago and seen Jacob, head in his hands, after his dad had locked him out the house. She'd invited him over to her side of the wall and they climbed the oak, smoked and talked. His dad, Jacob had said, had burst into his room looking for smokes. Instead, he'd caught Jacob eyeing pictures his dad didn't approve of. It hadn't gone down well. Me too, she'd said. Yeah, he'd replied. Well, sort of. I mean, if someone's hot, they're hot, right? But my dad doesn't exactly care about much, actually. And me being into whoever wouldn't really faze him. Sometimes I think he'd trade me to get mum back. The remembered conversation drifted away and Layla realised she'd lost sight of her target. She scanned the village. There, across the village's main road, just visible past the corner of Jacob's roof. The stranger had her back to Layla, her tall frame slightly bent. Layla strained to see the woman's face, but a cherry tree, useful for sweet, moist bites in summer, obscured her view. All she could see were bare, bloodied feet beneath shrouds of coloured fabric, feet that seemed to drink in the black of the tarmac on which they stood. The feet turned. Layla's heart skipped. A forceful squeak emanated from a villager's garden gate as it was wrenched shut. Layla could almost hear its owner's reproachful complaint. Not our kind. The stranger crouched down, the coloured fabric kissing the road, the woman's face almost visible beneath the boughs of the cherry. Layla strained to see, nearly forgetting the fall she'd scarcely avoided just moments before. Swathes of amber hair mingled with the black and blood. the head raised, snapped up to face Layla. The distance between them was far, further than either she or Jacob could pelt cherries or their juice-stained stones, but the stranger's eyes pierced across the village green to Layla's bow, and in an instant Layla saw the elders from her dream, remembered the black ash smeared upon their faces and a witch's blood on their hands. She felt raw flames and crackling heat, and saw hands reaching out to pull her into a fire. She saw her mother and the black wings of crow and felt the chime of ancient bells in her bones. Her world became smoke and ash and bitten tongue and deadened land and skin and bone and prayer and curse. And then it was gone. The stranger was gone. Layla's heart pounded in savage pulses, each beat blinding. The face of the stranger, the clever angles and storm-filled eyes had imprinted their ferocity upon her. Layla's hands were shaking, but still she pushed herself up with flattened palms and climbed even higher into the swaying boughs, hoping for another glimpse. Instead, all she saw was her father's van, following the road as it wound through the village. She kept her eyes on him as he crossed the river that babbled around the feet of paddling children and the slick feathers of ducks laden with scattered grain. In summer, children would spend hours playing in the cool waters, losing time in paper boats and toys to the river's flow. The jetsam would wash up where the river dwindled to a stream, just past the cemetery. Beyond there, the river then curved along the outskirts of the village and through the woods at the northern edge of Layla's garden. Once past the quiet of the birch grove and its shadows, it carved its way through field and dale, beyond even Layla's keen sight. The road, similarly, petered out as it bent around the village limits, branching off and diminishing to a pothole-laden dirt track as it approached her house. But Layla's father still hadn't left the village. His van's grumble softened as it came to a halt in front of the churchyard wall. She craned her neck, but all she saw was her father's back as he leaned towards his window, deep in conversation. But she knew in her gut what she could not see, that beside the van, talking in low murmurs to her father, was the stranger. Layla didn't wait to have her suspicions confirmed. She shimmied down the sheltered shadows of the oak and onto the cooling grass, fumbling to roll a cigarette. The sound of the van could be heard rounding the road through the woods, the noise getting louder and louder as they neared. An electric twinge ran through her. The anticipation grew. She could feel it spreading, out of control, unchecked and rampant. A wild thing in her chest lurched toward the oncoming stranger, and yet she found herself rooted to the spot. She crumpled the paper and tobacco in her hand and just waited. The van's tires crept off the tarmac and crept along the dirt track. Layla could now see the stranger sat beside her father, those storm-filled eyes piercing and unblinking. She didn't know if she should be scared, whether she should grab her father and run, but she saw his face through the windscreen, set in a jaw-locked smile, his eyes confused, glazed, and she knew in her gut that any attempt to run would be hopeless. Whatever was about to happen was inevitable, inescapable. The engine was cut, the doors opened. They both stepped out. The back of the house stood basking in the sun's diminishing warmth. Its thatched roof burnt a fiery rusted red at the tail end of daylight, drinking in the summer's heat before dusk's arrival. The trio had settled in the kitchen, sprawled around the battered wooden table that was scattered with the remnants of a feast. Elliot and the stranger were batting words and sputtered laughter back and forth across abandoned plates, whilst Layla watched and felt a knot of apprehension in her belly tighten and flex. It was surreal, and far from putting her at ease, the familiarity between her father and the stranger only served to heighten Layla's panic. The stranger laughed and seemed to conjure flickering shapes from the air by her fingertips. Layla's father was talking excitedly now, but Layla's ears would not catch up to understand the conversation. She felt lost, a sleepwalker, as though she were trapped in a dream from which she could not wake. The two voices rose in unison and broke into more raucous laughter. "Do you guys know each other?" For a moment, everything suspended, and the warm, glowing scene seemed like a perfect sphere of happiness in front of her that Layla could not enter. The two of them turned to stare at her. She felt like a splinter being pushed from the warm flesh of a body. The air was rotating specks of dust in shafts of streaming light, their dances wending their way around the figures at the table. Layla's father wiped a mirth-induced tear from the wrinkled pouch under his eye and, seeming not to hear her question, examined the bottle that lay between them. Oh, wonderful. Shall I fetch us another? Layla? She nodded a reply, mute and automatic, and off her father left with jaunty steps to collect another bottle. They were alone. The stranger turned her hooded eyes to Layla, and Layla realised she couldn't tell how old she was. It was as though each time she looked at her, her eyes glanced off her skin and were allowed only to land on those piercing blue eyes. Her voice, though, was like a sheath of ice. Your father doesn't remember, nor should he. You must. Outside, under the stars of midnight. Remember what? Listen, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, but... Footsteps. The stranger stared coolly back and touched a finger to her lips, removing it as Layla's father made his reappearance in the kitchen. He proudly presented a fresh bottle of his self-brewed honeydew. The stranger reached out with her glass in hand, the other giving a flourished gesture of thanks, all trace of urgency in her cryptic words gone, and Layla wanted to scream, to demand someone tell her what was happening, what this woman had done with her father, what all these mysterious messages were about. She wanted to break the odd normalcy of what surrounded her, even if it meant smashing plates and throwing things at this stranger, this woman who had come into their house unwelcomed and bewitched her father, confused Layla. But she didn't. She sat motionless and heavy with questions as the others continued with chat of this and that, Layla's father's work around the village, his skill at having rethatched their roof himself, and Layla's upcoming stretch of summer holidays, until Elliot and their guest were talked out and silence fell like soft snow on the room. The evening drew in around them, and when the last of the daylight had been shuttered out by the night, Layla's father declared it was time for bed. He summoned her to fetch fresh bedding from the airing cupboard with which to make up a bed for the stranger on the sofa. The sofa, too, was dusty and very much well loved, but with a clean sheet spread over it, there was a semblance of comfort. The trio bade their good nights and made their way to their respective beds. On his way to his bedroom, Layla's father, who seemed oblivious to the strangeness of the nameless guest, paused at Layla's bedroom door to give her a kiss on the forehead, as he used to when she'd been a child. She noticed a glint in his eye. From this, at least, she took some comfort, knowing that, whatever the future may bring, her father had found a joy in the evening, which would spread into the coming days like a ripple on a smooth pond. What she didn't know yet was how much he'd need it. They both would. After her father had pulled the door to a creaking close, Layla slipped with the silence of secrecy from her bed and lit the candle on her desk. Its orange tongue licked through the sculpted shapes of its holder and sent the shadows flickering in elongated dances over the pale walls. She kept on the jeans she'd worn to explore the sunlit hours but left her feet bare, their black soles smearing their mark on the bedspread. Outside, the owls hooted their evening sentinel, and bats like whipping black gaps in the sky flapped their nightly scavenge over the dark world. Layla continued to watch the distorted forms of the candle's patterns as she lay on her side on top of the sheets, mulling over all that had happened and what stood before her. Who was this strange woman lying on the sofa downstairs? Should she follow her bizarre request and meet her outside under the stars of midnight? Ridiculous, Layla thought. But her mind continued to whir around the possibilities, and before she'd made a decision, she dropped beneath the surface of the heady waves into a fitful sleep. Once more, she found herself in the village of years long since passed with the elders, watching them trap the witch. With magic, they bound the witch to the roots of the yew. You have sinned, they said. This is your punishment. Layla knew this story now, as though it had been a bedtime tale whispered in her ear all her life. They shed her blood and took her power and held her on the edge of life. Under midnight's new moon, they deadened the land around her, ensuring nothing remained on which she could feed. At last, they covered the yew with shadows of magic, hiding her from innocence. They left a guardian to tend the tree, and with each guardian's death, another takes their place, ensuring the witch is kept impotent, the small ember of life within her preventing death, preventing rebirth. When Layla woke, the pale moonlight carried its silvered glow in thin shafts across her eyes. She told herself that it was its light rather than a strangely natural assertion that it was time which had awoken her. In the gloom, she stretched out and checked her mother's wind-up watch that lay next to her bed. It was an illusion of choice, she realised. Somewhere in the fabric of the cosmos, it had been written already. And now that she stood at the fork in the road, on the brink of stepping one way or the other, she knew the paths to be the same. With furtive steps, she hastened out of her bedroom, gliding over the floorboard which grumbled were she to land weight on it, and down the stairs, once more avoiding the steps which would, with squealing complaint, betray her descent. The stranger was not in the makeshift bed. The ground floor of the house lay open, empty, waiting. Summer's merciful cooling breath snaked its way through the open kitchen door, and Layla followed its source, pausing to run her fingertips over the wood of the kitchen table on her way, as though it were a talisman bound to bring her luck. Midnight struck as her feet padded over the damp grass. Its chime reverberated around the indigo sky and its twilight companion. Magic turned the air to thick wads, their encircling oppression at once stifling yet pure, like the heaviness in a world awaiting a storm. It carried the sweet perfumes of honeysuckle and figs, and a hint of something that Layla did not recognise. It was this enigmatic scent that Layla followed. Wisps of it trailed in the night across the garden and to the outer reaches of the grass, where it swooped under the arms of the oak and beyond the glinting silver edge of the birch groves. The knot in her stomach tensed and curled and twisted around her insides, and Layla began to imagine that she could see the witch's face from her dreams watching her in the darkness. Hesitation stalled her step. What if it's a trap? Everything skipped and juddered, and the landscape looked suddenly altered, hostile, and Layla wondered if she should turn back, wake her father, tell him that she'd gone out into the night and the stranger was something different than he thought, something evil. The world sucked in a breath and waited for her choice. The bats and owls and night creatures stopped, and there was, beyond the rushing of blood in Layla's ears, silence. But what had her mother said? That Layla must stop her. Surely that meant Layla should go on. Her mother's apparition, however real it had been, and it was beginning to look like she hadn't imagined it, wouldn't tell her to do something she wasn't capable of. She flicked her lighter and dragged on a roll-up, swinging between fear and curiosity. She squeezed her eyes and begged the universe to make a decision for her, for some potent sign to force her onward. But nothing came. Instead, she reached into her intuition. When she opened her eyes again, she was resolved. The moon was glowing with such ferocity, adamant that Layla should find her way, and the flitting bats and their darting dives spurred her forward toward the susurration of the stream and its pebbles and the gleam of the grove. She felt impelled, and she could not step off the path that laid itself out before her. Layla took a slow step and felt the dank marsh underfoot and gathered her bearings. She was at the edge of the birches, where the water seeped to breach its banks and formed pools around the twisted roots of the trees. She squinted, eyes adjusting to the grove's deeper level of night. At her feet, the stream cut the woods in two and spat moss upon the rocks that adorned its flow. Pigment lost in the moon's luminescence rendered all in the murk dappled wood grey and chrome. Nothing stirred. Nothing breathed upon the earth. Silence swamped her lungs and eyes, and then, as if in answer to a prayer unuttered, the sharp nip of that unfamiliar scent rose again and guided her over the smooth, flat pebbles to the other side, where the trunk spared a small patch of land, and the stranger sat behind an ochre fire, head bowed. Layla wondered, as she approached, how she had not seen the fire's glow from across the stream. Sit. Layla touched her fingertips to the wet earth, steadied herself as she knelt in mirrored kind to the stranger. Perhaps she was going to die here, she thought, but at least she'd have some answers. The smell was pungent. Its acrid scent filled her nostrils and stirred lurkings in her belly. Are you here? Layla faltered. Is this something to do with my mother? When she received no answer, Layla dared to draw her eyes from the fire to the stranger's face, but the woman's eyes and body were closed, her state trance-like. If she hadn't been so scared, if Jacob had been by her side, perhaps Layla would have laughed. But nothing felt funny now. The stranger moaned, deep and guttural grievings more akin in sound to the wild savagery of a beast in despair than a woman, and Layla felt the trembling of the ground beneath her body, a trembling fueled by the moans as though the stranger was connected to the earth itself. The fire thrived between them, suddenly raging and pitching as if billowed by a carnivorous wind. It roared and burned a hoarse scream along the skin of them both, singeing hairs and swelling in turmoil to mix with the putrid stench upon the air.
Elder kin.
The sound stretched out and wretched, not the voice of the woman who had shared their food and sat at their table. Layla wanted to run, but found herself held immobile as if her body were weighted to the ground.
We speak to you as one, through the tongue of this vessel. You cannot remain unsure. The time for doubt is past.
The stranger's head flung back and exposed a pearlescent neck. At its base, heavy, raw scars rendered black showed their stark defiance. Her voice flung low snarls to the wind.
Your magic is escaping and must be cast back. The streams and twigs and mud shall rise and carry what's yours to her, and with it she will destroy you. For you she will come, but not before the rest is burned. Claim it back, or the evil will rise again, as it did before your mother's final days, when the blackness ruled.
The stranger lurched out an arm across the flames and seized Layla's wrist in a vicious hold, her trance-like state gone, her eyes painfully locked on Layla's. Layla struggled back, digging her heels into the dirt to escape the fingernails that dragged through her skin like hooks through the flesh of a fish. The hairs on the stranger's arms began to singe first. Still, she gripped Layla's arm. Her skin bubbled and spat until the uppermost layers began to peel off, slipping from the limb in sickening globs. Layla's eyes were fixed in grisly enchantment, but the stranger paid it no notice. She clutched at Layla now with both hands until their brows were touching. Layla could still smell the herbs lingering under the reek of burning and began to sob, hot, sizzling tears. She wanted to escape. She felt her own arm beginning to burn and wished she hadn't come, that she was still in her bed watching the candle flame.
This is real, child. There is no escaping. Listen to your mother. Visit the ancient hearth. Stop the witch.
She held Layla's arm still as Layla cried out. The fire was eating into her skin, a pain beyond anything she'd ever felt. Though she wrenched and kicked and tried to get away, the stranger held strong.
You must remember, she snarled.
And with that, at last, the stranger released Layla's pinned arm. She fell away, nursing it, then watched in horror as the stranger pitched forward into the fire, seeming to embrace the flames. They crawled over her neck and face, fizzling with excitement, drinking her in, but the stranger didn't fight. Instead, she held her body still until there wasn't an inch of her skin unconsumed by the hungry blaze, and twisted her head to lock eyes with Layla, mouthing her final words again and again through disintegrated mounds.
Stop the witch. You must remember.
Layla froze, unable to do anything but watch the soundless mouth until it ceased to move. Then, under the night and its blank eyes, Layla slipped from consciousness and fell to the damp ground beside the stream, her own limp form a strange alteration of the seething and spitting body in the fire. Only the occasional twitching of the limbs of the fire-dancing corpse moved in the silent hours. End of chapter 2. A note from the author. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available to buy on Kindle through Amazon. If you do not have access to Kindle, you can download a PDF via my website, link in the description of this podcast. You can also follow me on social media at twisted_roots_AG Parker. and at @A_G_Parker for updates and offers and current news about my poetry, fiction, articles, performances, and more. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the second chapter of Twisted Roots, and I hope you tune in for the next one. Remember, if you can afford to support an indie author, it's always appreciated if you can like, share, review, and download the Kindle copy. Thank you so much. See you next time.